At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. Abortion is one of the most divisive issues of the day. Until this past June, it was a federal issue. But the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the federal government should never have been involved with this in the first place, so they handed it back to the states. Now, Kentucky has a little-known amendment on the ballot that prevents state judges from imposing their policy preferences on the voters. It also prevents tax funding of abortion. A larger question related to our program today is whether pastors should speak to this issue. I've had a number of conversations with pastors and ministry leaders who are telling me that pastors just don't want to talk about it, that it's too political, and that they should, in some cases, just focus on the gospel. So joining me on the program today is Dr. Herschel York, pastor of Buck Run Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky. Herschel is also the Dean of Theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Full disclosure, he is my pastor, and I saw him do something very interesting this morning at a men's Bible study, where in order to get the attention of those who were busy eating their biscuits and bacon and whatnot, he got up behind the podium and he started speaking in Hebrew. So, Dr. York, welcome to the program.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Also joining us on the Commonwealth Matters today is Bob Russell. He is the longtime pastor of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville. Bob is an author, popular speaker, and a mentor to pastors across the region and really the nation. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. I'm going to promise you that no longer how long we talk, I will not talk in Hebrew.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I promise that too. So, well, gentlemen, it is really good to have you on the program. We've got leading pastors from two different denominations here in the Commonwealth to talk about this constitutional amendment, which passed the state legislature last year. And I'd like to read it. It's a very, very simple amendment. It is one sentence. And it says this: to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. It's very straightforward, very simple. And the reason the legislature passed this was to, and it was in anticipation of a ruling by the Supreme Court that would have undone Roe v. Wade. And this passed by wide margins in the House and in the Senate. And the intention behind it was to prevent a state-level Roe v. Wade from happening. We got abortion on demand at the federal level because we had seven judges on the U.S. Supreme Court that somehow found a right to abortion in the U.S. Constitution. What's behind this is they didn't want a state judge to somehow find a right in Kentucky's state constitution. The second thing that it does is that it would prevent public funding of abortions. Dr. York, I want to start with you. Is it political? Would you say that this issue in and of itself, it's a constitutional question? Where voters from Buck Run and voters in other Christian churches across the state are going to go to the polls to vote on this. Is it political for a pastor to speak on that question?
Yes, but it's not merely political. There's a difference. Anything that we speak about that has a moral dimension has a political dimension. We're against murder. We're against racism. We're against oppression. Those are moral issues, and we have political means of making sure that our society is just. And that is what is at the heart of this amendment, that it is not political in the sense that this is a Democrat or a Republican issue. This is an issue of life. And you will find people really from every political persuasion who've reached a conclusion that human life begins at conception. And so that transcends a lot of other political stripes, because this is at the heart of what it is to be human. And so I would encourage pastors to think that this is not merely political. This is moral. This is biblical. This is about the image of God in every human being. And we really need to get our people, first of all, informed that it's coming, and secondly, committed to voting for this, because frankly, that amendment simply says what is already true, because there is nothing in the Kentucky Constitution about abortion. And this is merely making it extremely plain so that no judge can find this hidden right to abortion therein. And so it is really important. And I would say the flip side of this is true as well, that if it does not pass, then it's almost as though we're inviting judges to find this right to abortion. And so it is really key. It's very significant. We need to speak and get our people out to the polls in large numbers in November to pass it.
Just a few days ago, MSNBC host Joe Scarborough claimed that pro-life Christians are perverting the gospel, and he said that Jesus is not anti-abortion. And here's a quote. He said, "As a Southern Baptist, I grew up reading the Bible. Maybe a backslidden Baptist, but I still know the Bible. Jesus never once talked about abortion. Never once. And it was happening back in ancient times. It was happening during his time. He never once mentioned it. He took aim at pro-life Christians, and he directly accused them of heresy. And he said this, "And for people perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ down to one issue, it's heresy." I wanted to get Bob Russell in this, but I'm afraid to get a Christian pastor to comment on somebody who identifies as a Southern Baptist. But I guess I will, Bob. I want to bring you in on this. But is it biblical, Bob Russell, to oppose abortion and to stand for the sanctity of life?
Well, we've got backsliders in the Christian church, too. So I think I'm being fair across the board to say Joe Scarborough is not a person I want to be speaking for the Christian stance on many things. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." He said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy." And that can be interpreted a lot of different ways. But to argue that the silence of Jesus gives an okay or permission would cover a lot of ground that shouldn't be covered. Jesus didn't say anything about rape, but that doesn't mean it's okay to permit rape in a society. Jesus also said, "You're to be the salt of the earth. You're to be the light of the world." And that means that Christians are responsible for speaking up on issues. Jesus also said about little children, if anyone harms one of these little ones, it's better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. So he's very protective of the life of little children. He said, the same as you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. So you can't get any more unprotected than a little baby.
Yeah.
And I think that the Christian leaders have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. I read this morning that John Wesley once said to his young preachers when they came back, he asked them two questions. Was anybody converted? Did anybody get mad? He says, when you preach the gospel, somebody's going to be converted and probably somebody's going to get angry. Yeah. And one of the reasons that we're so hesitant to speak out about anything political, every one of us has somebody in our congregation who is going to stand up and say, politics and religion don't mix. But the problem is that politics keeps encroaching on biblical principles. And we can't keep retreating and being silent. Albert Mohler's written a book about we cannot be silent. And the scripture warns us in Ezekiel that we're to be watchmen. And if we don't speak up and warn people of the danger of being disobedient to God, God will hold us accountable for their blood. And so whether they respond positively or negatively, we have a responsibility to speak up. And if I talk to guys, if you can't speak up for life, if you can't speak up for a little baby, what are you going to stand for? And we're to preach the whole counsel of God. And I think the best way to do that, Richard, is just preach through the Bible. And when the Bible touches on issues, then in balance, bring up that subject and talk about it. And also speak up early. The earlier we speak up, the better. The longer we wait, the more people divide into the camps. And when the people in the church see that we take a stand, I think they respect us as courageous leaders.
Bob, what do you say, and you touched on this, but what do you say about separation of church and state? The church has a lane that it should be in, preach to spiritual things, teach in the Bible, but don't veer out of your lane and get into the political lane. And there's two parts of this, if I could. So there are two institutions, church and state, correct? But can you speak of the intersection maybe between the two, the appropriate intersection? And you were kind of talking about, but that is a specific attack against Christians being involved, separation of church and state.
It's interesting that that's about the only group that society on the left suggests we shouldn't be involved. Everybody else has a right to speak up except the church, because they know where the church is going to come down on these issues, and we're making a significant difference. If we preach the whole counsel of God, there are so many issues that are both political and spiritual. Abortion is one of those. Creationism is another. If our schools start teaching just basic evolution without God, then Christian parents have a responsibility to speak up. That's an intersection of church and state. Gay marriage, divorce, sexual harassment in the business place, gender identity, racism, religious freedom, proper care for the poor and the aliens. All of those things are biblical issues. Now, the fact that the politics also crosses over, there are areas that are totally secular that we need to stay out of, and the Bible doesn't speak to. And there are areas where the Bible speaks clearly, where the church has to take a stand. And the people that we're so focused, Richard, we're so focused on trying not to alienate anybody, trying to make the seeker feel comfortable when he comes to church or when she comes to church, that we get silent. And as a result, we're losing our own kids. We're losing some of the fringe members of our church. They don't know what to believe and where to stand. And I think our primary focus doesn't need to be on how can we not offend anybody, how can we not offend the seeker, and how can we train and discipline and disciple our own people.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Herschel York, Joe Scarborough said it's heretical for people to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ onto one issue. It's heresy. Is it heresy for Christians to be pro-life and to say that the Bible's pro-life?
No, it is a heresy to pervert the gospel, but then he defined what perverting the gospel is, and he doesn't get to do that. The gospel goes into the most difficult and the messiest of situations in the world, and that certainly goes into the intimate area of pregnancy and the conception of a child. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that compels us to speak the truth, because, you know, if there is a cheapening of life beginning at conception, there's a cheapening of life at the end of life as well. And then between those ends, this is why the church has to speak out with absolute clarity that every human being is created in the image of God and is worthy of dignity, of respect, and of protection. And it is a perversion of the gospel to say, oh, we care only about your soul and that you go to heaven, but we care nothing about your life on this earth. And frankly, Joe Scarborough would flip that argument around when the church doesn't speak out on certain other issues. And he would say, well, why is the church silent on such and such? But in this case, he wants us to be silent because it doesn't, as we used to say, gee and haw with his view. And so we've got to be clear. I think Bob is exactly correct. Our people are looking to us to hear the truth. And, you know, Bob Russell pastored the largest church in the state of Kentucky, one of the largest in the nation. And if anybody would have a cause to not speak out on things, it would be him, because he had such a broad audience. And yet You know, the Lord blessed his faithfulness and blessed his candor. And he's a great example and an encouragement to pastors that we're not doing market research to find out how it will land with our audience. We're proclaiming the whole counsel of God. We're proclaiming the truth because it's true, not because it lands well. And we have to just say what is true and what is right. And, you know, frankly, I've been doing this long enough. I've been in ministry over 40 years. I've learned to get a little excited when someone gets upset and animated, because I have seen God do some of his greatest work when I get to have those conversations with people who are a little bit upset. And I get to say, well, have you considered this? Have you thought about this? And, you know, if at the end of the day they're still mad at me, okay, I can sleep like a baby at night. It doesn't bother me. I have to answer to God. Yeah. And I have an audience of one, ultimately, and that's where we have to be faithful. So this is why pastors need to understand that to proclaim the whole counsel of God, we do have to care about the least of these. Jesus said, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And this is why we have to speak up for the least of these right now.
View is that pastors need to speak clearly and be grounded biblically on this issue, regardless of whether or not it offends. Here's my next question. Is there a way that pastors can deliver this message, a pro-life message with conviction, in a way that's maybe better received than other ways? And it takes some tact and some wisdom. But Herschel, you both deal with difficult questions. You've both dealt with them over the years. But do you have a strategy? I'm thinking right now of the pastor who may be listening in, and he's scared to death of dividing the congregation, scared to death of being criticized for being political or what have you. How would you advise that pastor to engage this issue of life, and in particular this amendment that's on the ballot?
When we speak from a conviction and a compulsion, and without arrogance, without haughtiness, without self-righteousness, I think people get it. They understand when a pastor stands up and says, folks, I cannot keep silent on this. The Spirit of God and the Word of God compels me that I must urge you to do whatever you need to do and to make sure you get to the polls and vote for this because it's right. The Lord has given us an opportunity now that we've prayed for decades, and it has come. And if we now remain silent when we've seen the fruit of our labors and the answer to our prayers come right now to the threshold of our own state, and we don't complete the task, we'll answer to God for it. And I really believe that when you stand almost with a broken heart and saying that I must speak, I cannot keep silent, there's no arrogance, there's no haughtiness, there's no wagging your finger in their faces. Just speak the truth in love. I believe that the Holy Spirit uses that and will open the hearts and the minds of people to receive.
Experience in talking about tough issues, and I know you've been on the forefront, not just at Southeast Christian dealing with some of the tough issues, but you've traveled the state, perhaps the country, speaking about tough issues. Do you have any words of wisdom for pastors out there who might be fearful of addressing these issues?
Yeah, I just think what Herschel said, first of all, what's really important is that is you speak with conviction, and they can sense that you have a passion about this and you genuinely care. But if you can do that with a joyful spirit, and you can do that with a biblical base, and you can do that with a compassion for those who may have had an abortion, for example, most of the time people respect you for your leadership and for where you stand. Where we get into trouble is trying to straddle the fence. And remember the old thing that Vance Havner talked about, the guy in the Civil War couldn't make up his mind, so he wore a blue coat and gray trousers, and he got shot at from both sides. And I think there are a lot of preachers who try to straddle the fence on these issues, and they wind up getting shot at from both sides. So the place to begin is say, where do I stand on this issue? What would God have me to say? What does the Bible have to say about this? And then speak up. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we praise for his boldness in opposing Adolf Hitler's policies And he wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship. And for him, the cost of discipleship was his life. But he said to be silent about evil is evil itself. And I'm trying to remember the name of the preacher who said that he preached on a controversial issue and took a stand that he thought was a biblical stand. And he saw two or three people walk out. And as they were walking out, he said to himself, I am not a coward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think preachers, first of all, have to be strong and courageous and say, we're here to represent the truth of God. And here's where I stand. And I'll tell you, I just believe for if you want to bring it down to your own congregation, even though we're trying to speak for God, for every person who gets upset with you, there are going to be 10 who come to your side and say, thank you for taking a stand. They're hungry for leadership. I spoke last week at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove. And in the question and answer session, I was asked a question about suicide. If a person who commits suicide goes to hell. And I said, well, that's not my position to answer. However, I think that's up to God. And I'm sure hopeful that somebody who commits suicide can, that God can forgive their final mistake and look at the overall performance. And we don't know what goes through a person's mind. And I said, I certainly believe that there are people who commit suicide who can be with God in heaven. And there was one older woman who came up to me afterward, angry at me. She said, now the Bible says that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you destroy that temple, God will destroy you. And I said, well, where is that passage of scripture? I know the one about the Bible, the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it gave me a chance to at least force her to go look at that scripture again. As Hersher was talking about, sometimes when people get mad, they try to make the Bible say something that it doesn't. And you've got an opportunity to have a discussion with them that may help them. But if your goal as a preacher is to make everybody happy with you, you're gonna have an impossible task and you're going to be miserable in ministry.
Us, you're listening to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Hersher York, pastor of Buck Run Baptist Church in Frankfort, and Bob Russell, longtime pastor of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville. And we're talking about the Yes for Life Amendment, which is on the Kentucky ballot this November the 8th. And in particular, should churches address this issue? Should pastors speak to this issue? The Yes for Life Amendment simply says this: to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. A similar amendment was on the ballot in Kansas just a few weeks ago, and it was a shocker that Kansas residents voted it down. It was about a 60-40 margin, and many people expected it to go through and to pass, and yet that was not the case. Gentlemen, I had the chance to talk with a couple of people, a couple of leaders involved with the Value Them Both campaign in Kansas. And one of the things they shared was that there was a tremendous amount of misinformation that was shared by the opposition. And to make it even more confusing, the Dobbs ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court came down 5 weeks before voters went to the polls. And many voters believe that the Dobbs ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, somehow banned abortion, which that was not the case. The Dobbs ruling simply turned that issue over to the states. What was a federal issue made by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973 in the Roe v. Wade ruling, they said that the court made a mistake, the issue should have never been federalized, and they handed it back to the state. So there was confusion as to what the Dobbs ruling did, but there was also a lot of misinformation. A lot of not just misinformation, but downright lies that were spread, such as if this amendment passes in Kansas, it could prevent in vitro fertilization. If the amendment passes, it could prevent a woman who had an ectopic pregnancy from getting the help that she needed. Things along those lines. And Hershel, I want to go with you. As a pastor, you deal with discipling and delivering a message, and you base your communication on the truth. You're trying to convey truth. But how do you address when misinformation is spread? How do you address falsehoods? Can you have words of wisdom? And I'm thinking again of the pastor delivering a message or speaking to an issue like this, and the average congregant that's trying to parse out what's true and what's not true.
Yeah, you just have to continually speak the truth. One thing I really want to urge pastors is your whole life needs to be characterized by truth. You really need to make sure that you're establishing a track record of speaking truth, of being close to your people and earning their respect so that when you do speak out on an issue, they don't take it lightly. They understand that you've given this thought and prayer and it's consistent with the gospel that you preach. And so if the other side keeps saying lies, we just have to keep speaking truth and point out what is wrong. So we need to educate our people. We need to have clear statements that tell people, first of all, that abortion was not outlawed by Dobbs. It was merely returned to the states. And now our state has the opportunity to make sure that this Constitution is never incorrectly interpreted. And, you know, I just look at Southern Baptist churches. I forget how many Southern Baptist churches we have in Kentucky, something like 2,400, something like that.
That's right.
And, you know, if we just got the members of our churches to go vote, it would be done. And so shame on us if we lose this moment because we have the mechanism to do it. It right is on our side. It's simply a matter of prioritizing this and going to the poll and doing what we ought to do, what is consistent with our gospel and consistent with the word of God and his image in every human being.
I think it's important, too, that we not wait until the Sunday before the election and then say, hey, get out and vote this week and vote yes on this amendment. We need to be early on and be up front and have information available to our people and say, hey, in November, a month and a half away, there's going to be this vote. And I would strongly urge you to vote for this amendment. There may be some lies be perpetrated about this, and here are some of the things that you can expect. But let's get out ahead of it and not wait till just the week before the election to say something.
Very good. Herschel York, thank you so much for joining us on the Commonwealth Matters. Bob Russell, thank you both so much. God bless you.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.